and welcome to Rewatchable 46 for Veronica Mars. Today we're discussing episodes 15, Papa's Cabin, and 16, Un-American Graffiti. I'm Danielle.
How un-American of you.
I know, I'm sorry. With me, as you heard, is Mitch, and we also have Marima and Caitlin. So hi everybody, welcome.
Hey.
Hey.
Oh, hey.
So, these two episodes sort of wrapped up the Odell case, it's good that they're in the same rewatchable episode. So I'm excited to get to them and hear your reactions to how everything kind of wrapped up and how characters were involved in certain things. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to jump right into the episode 15 synopsis. In this episode, Veronica teams up with the creepy TA, and it's revealed that, shocker, not a shocker, he was the killer all along. All for naught, though. Before the episode is over, Hot Professor pushes Mindy Odell off a yacht in Mexico, and Veronica gets to talk to some strippers. Also, back in real life, Wallace reappears for a hot minute so that he can talk to Veronica about her love life, because that's all that really matters after all.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's a short and sweet synopsis. I feel like that pretty much hit everything.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Wait, who wrote this synopsis?
This one was Ariana, I think.
She called him a hot professor?
Yeah. Yes, she did.
Gross.
Thoughts?
my thoughts are gross. Poor choice. Anyway, sorry. I just got distracted. Feel free to continue. I feel like that was worth noting.
It was. I feel like a lot of people feel the same way you do. So let's talk about the big reveal, which was the killer. Well, Caitlin, I want to start with you because you've had... For anybody who may follow Caitlin on Twitter, she has watched these two episodes twice through, once like 2 weeks ago and once yesterday or the day before. You've had some pretty strong reactions to this, so please, the floor is yours.
I don't have a problem with Tim being the killer. I know I was completely off base. That's not my problem. My problem is that this was the stupidest plan ever. Like, I'm going to get back at Landry by framing him for murder and set it up as a suicide, and it gets ruled as a suicide, so there's no way I can guarantee it'll get investigated as a murder so I can frame Landry the way I want to. Like, what? That makes zero sense. So I'm just like... I don't understand. Like, I liked the way he played everybody during this episode and how he kind of had to improvise and was almost got away with it. But just the fact that he set it up as a suicide and did not do anything to guarantee that Keith would get involved to investigate it.
I didn't even think about that. Oh my gosh.
He needed it to be investigated as a murder to frame Landry, and the way it was set up was a suicide, and it almost got settled as a suicide. So it was like the stupidest plan ever. That was my problem.
Yeah, that's true. It was just, although, like, that is all a fair point. Although, like, I feel like we all knew that Tim was super shady from the start, and... There was, again, like, oh, I can't get over this, but there's this thing of, like, why do they keep bringing back this character that has seemingly no importance? Oh, it must be because he's the mastermind of the whole thing. By the start of this episode, when he was being super involved in it, I was like, oh, duh, he did it. So that was a little bit of a letdown. But, yeah, I didn't really think about all those things that Caitlin said, but now that you've said them... I am like, yeah, obviously. Like, why didn't I think about that? This was a really dumb plan. It was a dumb plan anyway, but it's an even worse plan now.
I'm just so sad on behalf of the dean that his own murder wasn't even about him.
Oh my god, I know. That was the worst bit. I was like, you guys know how much I love the dean. And I was like, are you serious? It wasn't even about him? Like, this is a joke. This is so dumb. So, yeah. Sad face for Marima.
That is a very sad day. Well, I feel like we still haven't got a resolution on the first death of your favorite character, Miss Kaplan?
Kendall.
Kendall, yeah. That's still, like, up in the air.
I know!
What's going on?
What is this show doing to me? Why do I keep attaching myself to these, like, totally tragic characters? Ugh.
I know. Well, that brings up the question then. If this doesn't have to do with Fitzpatrick's, which I thought it might, are they going to have an importance for these next, I guess we can say, 4 episodes past this episode of Rewatchable? Anyone can guess as best as I can, but I don't see them coming in.
I totally forgot that the Fitzpatrick's even existed anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And we went there this episode to look for the boyfriend of that out-of-town girlfriend. And he was hit in the head during surfing. Remember that episode? Like, we saw them in their bar.
Right, yeah.
So you would think that that would be a good point to introduce them again. I just don't get it. What's their point?
I feel like they were kind of just the red herring of season 2, and now they exist, so the bar is like a convenient place to go to.
That's what I was going to say, convenience.
Yeah. I can see that. That's fine.
Like, oh, we have this set, and we just need to put in some guys in, like, lumberjack outfits, and then they're the Fitzpatricks. Yay!
And I was also listening to a few of the old Veronica Mars podcasts that one of our listeners, Tanisha, had actually sent us a link for. And they were talking about how I feel like it's a little bit maybe before this episode aired or before it was even made that they found out that they were in danger of being canceled and that their season was going to be shortened and everything. And so they threw out a lot of B plots and even condensed, I think, 3 episodes into 2. So, I mean, I don't know for sure, but the Fitzpatricks may have fallen by the wayside just because maybe their storyline wasn't good enough or wasn't fleshed out enough to really try to keep it on.
Right. Well, this season is 2 episodes shorter than any of the others, isn't it?
Yes.
So there you go.
Yeah.
3 episodes into 1. All right, that makes sense. I'll buy that.
Yeah. So even though we didn't like what Tim did anybody feel like his motivation was maybe a little bit redeeming?
No.
Anyway, I thought I would ask. I mean, I obviously the answer is no. But
what show are you watching?
Not the same one as Caitlin, because I didn't get the same thing out of it, apparently.
Apparently.
Apparently not. No, I mean, it's terrible. But I guess this is a question while I was watching it. We can't categorize Tim, though, as a sociopath, though, correct?
Oh, we're not starting this conversation again, are we? Okay. Let's just say Tim is a super huge weirdo who should be in jail forever and is also a big creep. That's the medical definition.
And I hope the dean haunts him for the rest of his life.
Yeah, me too.
Agree.
Yeah, poor Dean. Poor
actor, he plays 2 like terrible people in this show. He doesn't get any redeeming parts.
Maybe he should have looked so creepy. Before.
Sad day.
Most random character ever.
Yeah, another creepy character. All right. Before we move on from Tim and his creepy TA-ness being the killer, Ariana jumped into the dock and said that she would at this time like to point out that she called him as the killer back when he started freaking out at his girlfriend at the frat party with Mercer the rapist. You're welcome. Signed A. So, there's that.
Well, it makes sense. He was setting himself up an alibi.
Yep.
Every time Ariana leaves a comment in here, even though I don't watch it, I just think of Pretty Little Liars because, isn't that the bad guy?
A.
And I'm like, someone's going to die. Like, that's what happens on that show. Sorry, side note.
All right, so Mindy O'Dell is dead now, too. And Professor Landry actually kills her by accident?
Weirdly. It was kind of just...
Do we care, first of all, that Mindy O'Dell is dead, besides the fact that she has 2 kids and now both the kids' parents and even the one kid's like biological father is dead?
I feel so bad for those kids. I just remembered that they existed.
Yeah.
That's so tough. The dad is like the addict who they kidnapped and stole organs from, and then the stepdad gets murdered, and then the mom gets like drowned off a yacht somewhere. That sucks. I hope they get some serious life insurance money.
And counseling.
Yeah.
Well, but mainly the money.
Mainly the money. Okay.
Let's be real. They might be better off without 2 out of those 3 people.
That's true.
But the dean. Oh, the dean.
I was really hoping, like, that Mindy and Landry were in on it together. Like, when Landry showed up on her boat, I was like, oh my god, they were in it together, and, like, they're gonna get away with it, that's so awesome, and then it wasn't, and it was a much less awesome reveal. That would have been way better.
Yeah, yeah. I would have liked that a lot as well.
That would have been interesting.
I guess for Veronica Mars, that's too obvious. Like, it needs to be way more convoluted.
Of course.
And here I thought Tim was way too obvious.
Yeah, but that's because the guy was playing him like, I'm a creep, don't look at me.
Like, the second time I watched this episode, knowing that it was him, I was like, every second he was on screen, I was like, you are so shady. Like,
yeah.
Oh my god, it was so creepy.
And like, not that I judge people by how they look, but he could have been more clean-shaven, and then that would have made me less suspicious of him, because he just always looked so, like, his hairiness always added to his sketchiness, for me, at least.
I feel like you're just telling us, yeah.
Yeah. Just
Danielle's personal preferences.
Yes, exactly. Well, no, we're not going to get into that, but, okay. So, back to the question. Does anybody care that Mindy O'Dell is dead? Does anybody really like her?
Oh, I forgot that was the question.
Yeah.
As you may have noticed. Yeah, I guess I kind of feel bad. Like, she was sort of annoying, but I didn't really dislike Mindy. It was just that the character kind of went in a pretty crap direction, I feel like. Yeah, I'm with Caitlin. I think that whole resolution of that was just generally dissatisfying. So it was difficult for me to feel like an emotional reaction to Mindy dying, because it was just all so convoluted and so weird, and the last few episodes have been so bizarre. And anyway, she cheated on the dean, so, like, what is she doing?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
And if she went off on her boat, she was abandoning her kids anyway.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah. So, awful, like, human being alert.
I just forgot that they existed again, and we just talked about them. I mean, they weren't exactly, like, a big presence in this series.
No.
Interesting, though, because I feel that she knew more than she let on all this whole time, but in the end of the day, does anyone else feel that she came off as a damsel? She really didn't seem to have a plan or anything. She was just like, oh, I don't know, I'm going to be whisked away off my boat and, you know, run away from my children and then be punched off and die and have no importance. Like, I was disappointed in the end of the day. I thought she was more intelligent and more cunning than her end.
Yeah, her whole end thing was weird. Like, the fact that she bought a yacht to just kind of disappear, even though her kids are still at home, and I don't know, and she wasn't also guilty.
When she was sleeping on the yacht, like, what was the, I just didn't even understand the point of that either. So I was like, you haven't even gone anywhere. Why, what are you doing? If you're running away from someone, don't get into a boat and then don't leave.
Like, she was, like, sleeping near shore. It was weird.
Well, was it? I mean, he just got on the boat, so it was obviously, like, not that difficult.
I thought they were by Papa's cabin, which was in Mexico.
They were.
I wasn't,
so,
like,
they had already left.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that now. Yeah, this was just dumb.
All right. So let's move on from, let's talk about Landry really quickly, because we didn't really talk about him. Do we feel sympathetic towards him? I feel like his scene at the end when he was on the boat and Keith was, like, interrogating him, I felt really bad for the guy, because you could tell he was just an emotional wreck. And we've never seen him like that before. So did that make you feel a little bit better about him at all?
Well, all in due time, because Keith did treat him very nicely when he was arresting him. So I feel that was his time to be embarrassed, I suppose. He got off really easily for being charged for murder in the middle of class. Lamb would have run right over and handcuffed him right in front of everyone, but, you know, Keith was as nice as he could have been up until, you know, Landry was off on a boat and had murdered someone. I think that he did deserve that because of the desperation that he had put himself in, you know?
Yeah. That's fair.
Like, he didn't have to go off and find Minnie on the boat. I feel like he knew he wanted to, but if he, I think, you know, stuck close to Keith and told him about what was going on, it just would have made more sense to me. I mean, in the end of the day, though, this was really a moot point because he killed Mindy because Tim was trying to make it look like Landry killed the Dean. So even if Tim did just, you know, fail in his plan to get Hank in trouble about killing the Dean, because, you know, Hank didn't really do it, Hank still did kill Mindy in the end of the day. Maybe that was Tim's master plan to get Hank to not even trust his partner in crime, per se.
It's hard to plan out an accidental death like that.
Mm. Yeah. Or maybe he just wanted a confrontation between the two. Maybe he's just trying to off them all. I don't know. Get one in jail, the last surviving one in jail, and get everyone else killed. Clean up the whole playing field, you know? All chess pieces are gone.
Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm. But at that, though, do you guys think we're going to see Landry soon?
By you guys, I think you mean Caitlin.
Yes, I do. Caitlin, do you?
No, I don't expect to see him again.
Well, we did see Aaron Eccles up until, you know, got shot by Clarence Weedman, right, in the hotel room. So maybe he'll get freedom because he's somewhat innocent. I don't know. Caitlin, do you think he's innocent, though? Do you think he deserves a good ending, or was that it?
I mean, he still killed someone, but I don't think it was premeditated, so he does deserve some jail time, but it wasn't, manslaughter versus murder, like they said.
Yes, exactly. And it did make me a bit sad because in the end of the day, he was innocent and he kind of screwed himself over by going on that boat and doing all the things that he did. So, I mean, well, explain this to me, Danielle. What was his purpose of going on the boat in the first place? What was he looking to do to her?
I think he just wanted to confront her about why she had set him up. Because she told a lie, and I can't remember exactly what it was at this very moment, but she told a lie that was not true in order to get Landry investigated, I think.
Was it about the prohibition officer board that he paid off someone, or he blackmailed them to be his alibi?
I think it was that she didn't tell Keith that Cyrus had threatened to cut her off. Like, she just implied that Cyrus only threatened Landry when he came to the hotel. So that made Landry look bad, and it put all the suspicion off of her.
Right. Yes, that was it. No, Landry did do that thing with the board with that kid.
So he did so he still did wrong because he did blackmail an alibi.
Right.
But wait. That alibi meeting didn't happen. It just looked like it did because it happened in flashback, and that's what the viewer saw, I suppose.
No, that was Tim. I thought that was Tim that made that call.
That's right. That was Tim who set that up.
Because Landry didn't have time because it happened after he was arrested. There was no time between his classroom and the police station. It was Tim that set that up.
Right. And did you guys love, in general, the look in Veronica's eyes as she caught Tim in class? She was looking at him like she wanted to eat his face.
I was waiting for Tim to, like, attack her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was so surprised when he didn't do it. He just kind of, like, hung his head. I was waiting for him to, like, try and strangle her or something.
Yeah, no, there was zero violence in this reveal.
Yeah, seriously, he went to all this effort to, like, kill someone and do all of this, and then some girl is like, I caught you, and he's like, yep, you caught me. Like, that's it, game over. It was dumb.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the big Veronica Mars, like, let me tell you in front of all these people, like, what I have worked out as I solve this case, kind of reveals.
My villain monologue.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like,
Well, it seems that he's actually a lot better in the field than he portrayed.
Yep.
Until he had to start thinking things up on the fly. Yeah.
like he says in his lecture, once you start improvising, when you trip up. And when Veronica caught him sneaking into her place, he had to start improvising, and that's what got him busted.
Yep. Boom. Roasted. So that was the huge reveal of the big murder mystery in this season. Very underwhelming, especially in comparison to the other ones.
Yeah, not at all traumatizing.
That's always a good thing then, right? If it's not traumatizing. It might have been a little traumatizing for you, Marma, because you loved the dean so much. But
I mean, the murder itself was traumatizing. Like, the solution to it was just tedious.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Okay, so let's move on from that murder mystery and talk about, really quickly, Keith becomes sheriff again, which is kind of, I don't know, what did you think about that? I liked seeing that because you see him in a different role, but how did you feel?
I think that it's due time, and I was watching it with John, and he was asking me how it happened because he hadn't watched the past episode, and I said, it's obvious. Keith's done his time, and he's shown that he was very good at investigations. Sure, he was wrong at, you know, the Canes not really murdering their daughter, but he did know to look further into it past it just being, however originally Lily thought was to be dead. I don't remember anymore. Anyways, the fact of the matter is Keith deserves what he had, and I think that it's going to be inevitable that he's going to stay as sheriff, because I doubt they'd find anyone as high quality as they would Keith in anywhere in Neptune. Other than Veronica.
High quality? No. But no comment.
Oh no. I think I know where that no comment goes. That's okay. That's a good no comment. And it also comes from my seeing the movie trailer, unfortunately. I'll never forget it.
That's your own fault.
It's not. Did you hear the story that happened, Marma? It was horrible. I watched it at an award show. I won't go into it. Trust me. I know everyone's probably tired of hearing that by now.
Oh, you were at an award show? Your life is so hard.
In Las Vegas, of all places.
Oh, and you walked through Disney today?
I know.
Just to get home.
Just to get home for rewatchable. Yeah, Marma, I couldn't help watching it because they were blaring it at an award show, and I was like super in the front, and they had cameras everywhere on the audience to see our reactions. And I couldn't plug my ears or look down or anything. It was the worst. It was almost like I was, you know, being brain warped or whatever to watch it. It was the worst. I was very upset after.
Oh, first world problems. Your life is so tough.
So, yes, I knew where that no comment was going, Danielle. I'm sure the listeners know where my line of thought is going, you know? The ones that are old fans.
Sort of. Well, yeah. They do, yes.
Yeah.
Well, there's an election coming, so it's fairly obvious where that's going.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not even what I was thinking of, Caitlin. But okay, yes, I can see that too. I know what you're talking about. I know what Danielle and Caitlin are both talking about, but I can't reveal either, because I don't know what's going to spoil our listeners. So let's move on from that part.
Yeah, let's move on. All right, so that's pretty much all that we had for Papa's Cabin, because that was pretty much all that happened in Papa's Cabin. So let's move into our favorite scenes and favorite lines for the episode. My favorite scene was Wallace telling Veronica about him seeing Parker and Logan having lunch together. Because it was like a beginning of season one type Wallace talking to Veronica. And it was really funny. I enjoyed it. Caitlin, favorite scene?
I just went with the whole lecture where Veronica kind of realizes that Tim's the one that did it because he was doing his villain monologue that's so obnoxious, and she figures it out. I did like the irony of him saying, you know, once the killer starts to improvise, then that's when it all blows up. Yeah, that's how it blew up in your face too, Tim. Good job. So that was enjoyable, even if he had a stupid plan.
All right. Mitch, your favorite scene, please.
Mine is when Veronica is shoving books while listening to her iPod, although she's listening to tapped phone calls. But I used to do that when I worked at the library, and it brought back good memories. It was really fun to do that because it was, quite frankly, the best job. You can, like, listen to podcasts and stuff. I remember I used to listen to, like, MuggleCast and stuff when I was shelving books. It was the best.
I guess I'm the best. I like it.
Yeah, it's a very good job if you can get a school library job because it's very lax because you're a college kid, so you can do stuff like she does.
Mm-hmm.
Very good job. So take Veronica and me as your points of reference in life and follow what we did because you'll enjoy it.
What a sweeping statement. Okay. Marilla, your favorite scene, please.
My favorite scene was when Parker and Veronica are having the conversation about Logan, because even though I dislike that Parker is like Veronica 2.0 or 3.0 or 4.0 or like whatever we have now. Well, yeah, what have we had? Like Meg and then that other random girl whose name I refuse to remember and just, too many blonde girls. But, you know, I like that they addressed that. Well, Lily, maybe they're all versions of Lily. Maybe it's not Veronica.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, then it's Lily 5.0 at this point.
Yeah, well, sucks to be a love shipper because she's obviously just a replacement for the girlfriend that got murdered. Yeah, I liked this scene a lot. I like that they addressed this.
Oh, Marma, that was spicy. I like that.
Yeah, no, I liked it too. And I moved it to this next episode that we're talking about. But their conversation reminded me of the conversation that Meg had with Veronica. I think, when was that? Season one, I think, when they were talking about Meg dating Duncan. Like, it seemed like the very same scene where Veronica's, like, not wanting to really talk about it, except this time she seemed a little bit better. Adjusted, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think Veronica is like pretty bad at dealing with these things in general, but I mainly liked it from Parker's point of view of her being like, I need to talk to Veronica and make sure this is okay. Instead of, you know what? Like, I haven't seen obviously past these episodes, so I have faith that Veronica Mars can still turn this into like two girls fighting because that's what this show does. But at the moment, at least it was, I think it was good that they showed Parker being like, no, like, this is important to me. A female friendship is important to me more than like this potential relationship. I have to make sure that this is fine. So even if Veronica is like, it's totally fine. I have no problems. And then goes and like, whatever about it. I liked that they at least introduced it.
Girl code.
Girl code. Very good girl code.
Girl code.
Mm-hmm. It was important that she, I think, had female support in a trying time in her life because she's still recovering from that rape and she needed to know that regardless of what happened with the guy she might potentially date, she'd still have friends to be by her side. Not to fall back on, but to be with her throughout the whole their relationship.
Yeah. It's like the rules of feminism. That's a Mean Girls quote for you guys.
I thought so,
yeah. It is. I liked it.
I could tell by the American accent and then the tone. I was like, I know. It's a movie I know. And then he said it. I was like, yep.
That's the only way that I know how to impersonate American people. So, just by talking
it's
like...
It's pretty accurate.
Sarah, yeah. Anyway.
It's pretty accurate. I'm pretty impressed.
Yeah. All right. Favorite lines. Mine was Veronica. It has to do with my favorite scene in the lunchroom. And Veronica, in response to Paul, says, in the cafeteria at lunchtime? God, why doesn't he just run me over with a truck? And I don't know. It's over-exaggerated. It's lovely.
You sometimes oddly do still sound like Kristen Bell to my brain. And at this rate, I should know the difference between your voices, but they still meld together every once in a while when you read a quote. It's creepy.
Wow. And you've known me for a little while longer this time.
That did sound very Veronica, actually.
Yeah, totally.
Yes!
Only she tweeted us back that, oh, I listened to it, and I want you to be my official step-in voice actress.
Or her date to the premiere, like she's been looking for.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's fine. It's okay. Caitlin, what was your favorite line?
So mine was when Veronica and Tim were off trying to verify Landry's alibi, and Keith calls Veronica, and she says, if you're wondering where I am, I'm hanging outside a convenience store eating Corn Nuts and watching strippers. And Keith's response is just, are you doing drugs? That's the response to that. I like that.
I was pining for Corn Nuts after that scene.
What are corn nuts?
They're like little chips in the shape of, I guess, like half of peanuts, you know, like a cracked peanut. And they're super, super, super salty and American.
That sounds
and
disgusting.
And they're super hard, too.
They're very hard. They're disgusting. After you eat, like,
why
three,
would you want to eat them?
You that don't. That's horrible. The thing. It's like you eat like three and you get sick of them. It's like when you eat something super sweet and you can't take too much of it. It's the equivalent of that with salty. But I don't know how she was eating that whole bag. She's a brave woman. I just couldn't get through
because it. Because she's salty.
She is salty. Arg.
Arg. Mara, my favorite line?
Yeah, mine basically is the second half of the conversation that was in yours, Danielle. And Wallace is like, I'm just telling you this because it looked like it was something. Like, they were connecting. And Veronica is like, I'm just trying to figure out which Gilmore Girl you are. Because I enjoy when they make references to, like, other shows that are on at the same time. As if, like, we're real, but that's not. And, yeah, that always makes me laugh.
It's so fun.
Did anyone else realize that Ariana just creeped into our Google Doc? Like, she's hiding somewhere, like, watching as we talk in this podcast.
Oh my god, she is!
Her face slowly, like, slided up from that little floating bar, and I was like, who in the hell is that? And it was like, Ariana Quinones. I was like, oh my god! We should message her and be like, what are you doing, creeper? We found you.
I think she was trying... She sent me a message asking if we have, like, a new person to report Veronica Mars. So I think she was just trying to, like, get our attention somehow by being in the doc. I don't know.
Well, that's funny.
Mitch, your favorite line, please.
Mine is in the same scene that Monoma just referenced when, before Wallace reveals what he's talking about. They had this is creepy that Ariana is writing on the same exact thing that I'm about to read. I can't handle this right now. Okay. It's like a ghost. Veronica goes, what? I'm starting to grow a mustache? Wallace, no. Veronica, then why are you staring at my lip? Wallace, because you made me. And then Ariana creepily just wrote, he's staring at her lip because he's in love with her, obviously. Someday the ship will sail. We should tell her that she has impeccable timing, because that was creepy. That was super creepy, guys. There's no going around that.
Well, she can see where all our cursors are.
Yeah, good point.
I'm telling her. We're all good.
Oh, that's funny. Even when she wasn't on, she was on. That's cute.
She's adorable.
But
and we get a little bit more of her with the next synopsis, so that's fun.
Yeah, I love her synopsis.
Synopsis. All right, so let's move into that next episode then. It's episode 16, which is called Un-American Graffiti. And here is the synopsis. In this episode, Veronica gets hired by a Middle Eastern family to find out who is vandalizing the restaurant. Meanwhile, Keith cracks down on underage drinking in bars around Hearst, and after using Wallace and Piz to sneak out the stitches, ends up firing some of his disloyal deputies. Back at the farm, it's Parker's birthday and Logan throws an awesome party, but unfortunately insists on plastering his face on her cake, which is just kind of weird and makes everyone uncomfortable. And after letting Veronica walk all over him this season like a sap, Piz takes Wallace's advice and finally leans like a cholo to plant a manly smooch on Veronica because Honey Badger with his honey golden hair don't care. But then the elevator opened and Logan was standing there, so awkward.
Wow, that was a big shipping episode, wasn't it?
It was. Marimo, your boy gets some action.
Ships were sailed. I'm just wondering why.
Sorry, I was muted. Sorry. Yeah, I know.
I was like, are you not excited?
Didn't you see my caps lock response to this? I was like, I must be on this episode of Rewatchable. Yeah.
She didn't mention the biggest ship of all in this episode, I'd say, personally, which was Mac. She's, like, dumping one guy, going on to another.
Oh my god, that was so perfect. That was amazing. Why didn't we see that coming?
That's what I'm saying. Like, two, like... Max? Yeah, because they're, like, really underground, you know, the things they do, the way they act. It's really amazing
They're perfect together.
Yeah, they have great chemistry, and it's awesome that they're both, like... they met Veronica through means of cheating the system, I suppose. And she referenced her how much do you know about the sex life of your partner test? That awesome test. And I was like, oh my god, continuity in this show just blows my mind. I even forgot about that.
It's so good. I'm glad to hear you guys say that you like Mac and Max together, because I mean, our listeners can't see it, but our doc on this is a little bit negative towards Max. Because Ariana calls him that cheater guy who accidentally dated a hooker.
Hey, I've always liked Max. I've made no secret of this. I thought he was really funny and really smart. Good. Yeah, I've always been Team Max. So
I'm hoping he's in the movie, right?
They go together.
His actor was on Supernatural, so I automatically love him.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good. I just love it when he's talking to Mac, and it's right before they kind of pan away from the two of them, and he asks her, seriously though, did my friends hire you? And it made me laugh so hard.
That was I felt so bad for him.
So what happened with Mac's boyfriend's actor that he didn't get to finish off the season? Because that was very
he's
random.
He's just not in this episode.
But, like, she just totally dropped him like a hot potato, you know?
She didn't do anything. She can do what she wants. Yeah.
She doesn't like morning hikes. Hello, who does?
She didn't cheat on him at this point.
I thought that was, like, the Veggie Mac ship sinking in the rise of the Max Mac ship. All the way. But it's okay. I think you're right that they didn't cheat on each other. But if anything, it just opens up the possibility of their ship, I suppose.
Like, I watched this a few days ago, but, like, was she still together with that guy in this episode?
I thought so.
Yeah.
Did they talk about him?
Yeah.
He didn't show up to the party because of something. What was it?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, like, that's his fault. He didn't show up to the party. She found someone better. Like, Team Mac. Team not that other guy who didn't go to the party.
Yeah. And, you know, he really should have showed up to that party because wasn't Parker... No, it was Veronica that was part of that whole, let's find the monkey business. So, I don't think he really knows who Parker is, or else we haven't really seen them on screen. So, I guess he really didn't have too big of an obligation to go to... the party. But then again, though, it was Mac's roommate, so that's kind of low.
Why are we still talking about this?
Because this is the ship, and this is what is important, because that's all the show's about. Have you not learned that by now?
Oh, really? I thought it was about, like, poor portrayals of feminism and, like, contrived plot lines.
That, too. It's all shoved in there.
Sorry. I do like this show.
We like the witty characters, all right?
I know sometimes it doesn't seem like it, but I do actually really like it.
Except for the characters you like get killed, brutally.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, who now that you have had your two main characters killed, I haven't asked you yet, Marma, then who's your new number one, if you have one?
Oh, Piz. I always liked Piz from the start, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Danielle knows that.
So oh,
yeah.
She's been paying attention.
So therefore, does that mean that you're shipping Piz Veronica more than love?
Well, I mean,
she's shipping Piz in general.
I'm just shipping Piz and being alive. Like, I just ship Piz as a person that exists in the world of Veronica Mars. I don't care about the Veronica Piz relationship any more than love. I probably dislike it less. Oh no, actually, now I think about it, I think I dislike it the exact same amount. But I just like Piz as a character. He's really fun.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so do we have to worry that Piz is going to die in the movie because Marma likes him?
Yeah. God.
Stop it!
Yes, that'd be funny. That's what I was thinking too, actually, but I didn't want to say it because I didn't know that was spoiler territory. But cat's out of the bag. We'll just hope that he doesn't die for Marma. Who can't even watch it in the movies, by the way, because it's still not in the
theater. Okay, I was going to wait until the very end to say this, but actually, while we were recording, or while we have been recording, has just been announced.
Shut up!
When is it? Let me finish!
Shut up!
It has just been announced that the Veronica Mars movie will be able to be streamed the same day that it comes out in theaters.
What?
So this means... that everybody, no matter where you are, will be able to see the Veronica Mars movie. It may not be in a theater, but you will be able to see it. I believe they're going to have it on iTunes. They're going to have it on Amazon. And I believe like DirecTV type things are also going to have it. So that means that everybody can watch it on the same day.
So excited!
Yeah! Yeah, it was just announced when we were talking about the last episode. So if I sounded a little like incoherent, it's because I was reading. Sorry. I apologize. But wow. Yes, so exciting news.
Oh my god, I was so nervous I wasn't going to be able to say this till like November or something, because releases with things like this are insane in Australia.
Yeah. No, you will be able to watch it at the same time.
I can be on the episode.
Yes. Yay!
More piss.
More piss.
So, I mean, that's another cat out of the bag, I suppose. Should we talk about that now? What does that mean? Like, obviously you have to pay for it, but I'm going to assume it's like at least $10, or if you're downloading it, maybe even as much as like $17 I've seen on iTunes.
I'm not sure. Details are to come. Actually, this is what Ariana was actually talking to me about, but there is someone who wrote an article about this and about a few like movie catch-ups, like where are these characters now, and it's actually live on Hypeable now if you want to look for it. It has a little bit of details from what someone had reported earlier, but the official statement is just that more information is to come, and everybody who pre-ordered and got like the streams and the movie download in with that, everybody's going to be able to see it all at the same time.
Wow. So, it's like a midnight book release.
It is.
But except for you're actually getting gypped if you're going to the theater, because I mean you're getting a midnight release party, but I mean you're not owning it like you would.
I will go to the theater like multiple times just because I want them to hit whatever number that they need to in order to have a second one be a possibility.
But what an interesting marketing strategy. That's unheard of once again with this movie.
Especially since they've been trying to get theaters. So he tried to explain it in the email. I didn't read that in depth because we're podcasting currently. But
well, I'd hope that this doesn't mean that the sales are doing bad. That's another way to boost just the revenue. I don't think so.
I think they're just trying to get everybody, because they promised everybody.
Yeah, I feel like this is a really smart move. I don't think it's a reflection on like the sales and stuff. I just think it was obviously proving like way too difficult to work it out internationally, which it is always really difficult to sync up like release dates and stuff like that. And when something is in limited release as well, like this seems to be, it takes months and months to work it out overseas. And then it's just like there's a really stagnated kind of trickle of people going to see it every few months. So this makes heaps of sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this isn't the first time I've seen something that struck me as odd happening in America really, you know, soon, but, you know, taking another place in the world another long time. I think the PS4 literally just released in Japan. That thing released, like, I don't even know, like, November in America? I don't know why America gets that much privilege, because quite frankly, I would think that we're all equal in the entertainment business, but I suppose that Hollywood thinks not, just because it's in California, right?
Damn, California. No, I'm just kidding. It's fine. I've never been there, but I'm sure it's fine. So yes, exciting news. I'm glad I didn't wait till the end, so I'm glad you guys brought it up, but now I don't remember where we were.
We were talking about relationships.
His is the best. Oh, partial plug. By the time everybody's hearing this, hopefully, it is your last day to buy a team whatever shirt that you would like from Cafe Press in the Veronica Mars sort of line. Those t-shirts are on sale for about $10. And they have like Team Piz and Team Logan and Team Marshmallow, Team Dick.
Team Dick.
Yeah. I have to figure out which one I want. I don't know. I'm having such a hard time deciding.
But
I will be getting one.
I don't know if I could really wear around a shirt that said Team Dick without...
I know.
Yeah, that's not going to sell too well. Wow, that's a marketing nightmare.
Yeah, that's fine. But yeah, part of me really wants Team Piz, so we'll see how it works out. It'll be a surprise for everybody.
I vote for that one.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
Everybody.
I could go for that.
Yeah. All right.
I think by default that people are going to just, you know, have to ship Piz more than Logan if they want to be an outsider, because they're not going to want to ship Dick with that kind of shirt. Out loud, at least. I mean, but if they're me, they'll just shit them on a podcast, and they'll be fine.
Yeah, there you go.
Talking about ships, talking about parties, I'm hijacking this, Danielle, for a very important moment that needs to be mentioned. That the Dick and Veronica ship was sailed today. This episode totally showed their friendship starting. It's not a relationship-ish. It's an acquaintance. She, like, took a swig. Come on.
Oh, that was the worst.
It was gross, but, like...
Dick is the one who... Like, she was pissed off at Madison, and then for that whole thing... Dick was the one to blame, and then she actually drinks out of his flask. Like, hello, hypocrite.
Big double.
And it's not like it's even safe because he was going to roofie himself. So
yeah,
he could have put it in his flask.
Yeah. So I was just like, what are you doing? Worst decision making ever.
So whether good or bad, it was important. It's up to us to decide, though. Like, I think we've all pretty much hit the head of the nail that she's having a weird double standard there. And the whole reason she's going to this party alone and she's not dating Logan is for the very reason that she should be upset at Dick still.
Fun times.
So, interesting. I mean, it's funny that I like Dick so much when I tend to forget the roofie incident and how she treats Madison. If I'm taking Veronica's side, I really, which I don't on the Madison thing right now, I really shouldn't like Dick. But then again, should we take her judgment on Madison as proof that she should not like Dick, because we all agree that she's being ridiculous towards Logan for being with Madison, correct?
Yes.
But, I don't know, it's weird. It's like a weird relation that started that whole spiraling snowball. I don't know how to define it anymore. Has enough time passed that Veronica can forgive Dick?
I don't think she should. Okay. I don't think that's a forgivable offense, personally.
Yeah, I don't
think
she's angry. We're not even having this conversation. You don't forgive someone for that. Yeah. It's not a forgivable thing. It's not even on the list.
Well, is she?
But it is on Veronica Mars. Like, we just forget about stuff that happened previously.
Is she
previously
she
on Veronica Mars? I don't know.
Yeah.
Continuity. What
stuff happened? Should she ever forgive Logan at that rate?
For what? What are we talking about now?
Should Veronica forgive Logan for sleeping with Madison? Madison, who had very much to
do. That's, like, totally different. They're totally different. Yeah. I mean, like, she's annoyed because it's Madison, but she's also annoyed that Logan slept with someone else, which she has no right to be annoyed about.
I always took it as just being it was Madison, not someone else.
Sure if it was someone else, she still would have been like, what are you doing? But it's more so because it's Madison.
Because think about it. Before the truth was actually revealed that it was Madison, she wasn't upset. She just said, you slept with someone else? And he's like, yeah, she didn't matter a lot
to
me.
She was digging, though.
She was digging, you're right.
So I feel like if it had been someone else, maybe she wouldn't have had as big of a reaction. But
that's possessive, though. That's creepy. Frank is, like, caring way too much about his every breath. It's like he's not allowed to live a life when he's not dating her. That's weird. That doesn't make any sense.
She has trust issues. She's said this herself.
Yeah, but it does justify it. I still think she's being a jerk for doing what she's doing to Logan, then.
Well,
right, but it's not out of character, though.
No, yeah.
That's
not.
So it doesn't matter who it would have been. It doesn't matter. It's how she is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny that someone with trust issues would lie so much, isn't it? How's she ever going to get anyone else to trust her?
I feel like that's entirely accurate for someone with trust issues.
That they lie a lot.
She wants to be in control.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Exactly.
Yeah. So basically you're going to screw over everyone else because life screwed you over and you don't care what the repercussions are because there's no way life can get worse. Is that what we can define trust issues as?
Isn't that the tagline to Veronica Mars season 1?
What was it?
what you just said. Life can't get any worse. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Partially a joke, but yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. But speaking of shipping, while we're on the subject of relationships, let's talk about Parker and Logan really quickly. I know we did a little bit before, but do we see any sort of chemistry here, or are they just kind of throw them together as a plot device?
Who is Logan in this episode? Who replaced him with a pod person? Like, that's just what I'm trying to figure out, because this was not Logan Eccles. Like, the Logan Eccles I have watched would not make a birthday cake like that unironically. Like, he would not do that, like, straight-faced, put his face on a birthday cake. Like, who are you? Like, I was totally for them. I thought it'd be cute. Parker has proven herself to be awesome. So I was all in favor of that for a while Veronica and Logan worked their crap out. But who is Logan? Like, I don't recognize him.
Yeah, that's weird.
I have to agree. And I feel like they were just trying to hit the point of, like, look what a great guy Logan is, and look what Veronica is missing out on. It's like, he would never have done that for Veronica. He would never have done that outside of this weird storyline.
Pod person.
Well, it's kind of funny, too, that they felt the need to hammer into our minds that Parker is Logan's new flavor, with her getting quite literally like a piece of cake with her face on it, you know, or his face, sorry. It just was really, like, too melodramatic to me that we could predict that all happening. I'm sure not a single person on this podcast didn't see her getting his face on that piece of cake, which she said, hack F any piece that you want, Parker.
Yeah.
That was just, that, like, smack your forehead, stupid.
That was just, that was the worst.
And if Parker had half a mind, she wouldn't have given her that piece, unless that was, like, oddly bitchy or vengeful, which I wouldn't think it would be coming from Parker.
Yeah, probably not.
So she just, that's, I guess, weird. She was just hosting and she was really busy and didn't really care.
Weird.
Hey, yeah, wasn't this supposed to be a surprise party for her, or did she know about it?
No, she knew about it, because she was asking Veronica to come.
Okay. Well, oh, hey, Caitlin, to Logan's credit, when the cake came out, Parker did say, oh, look, you remembered, meaning that she had the idea to do it. He just kind of was, like, obliging to her to make her happy on her big day.
Or he just remembered a cake.
Yeah.
A cake in general?
Is the obnoxious couple-y picture, like, part of what she was really after? Because that was so obnoxious.
Yeah.
I hope not, because Parker was cool before that.
I know, and they've been dating for, like, a week? Like, what?
Yeah, this show doesn't make any sense, their relationships. I really hope they're not going to make Parker into some really annoying girlfriend now, just so that it is easier to get, like, Logan and Veronica back to a place where, like, oh, we still love each other, and, like, this is awesome. Because, yeah, apart from, like, Parker being blonde, I do actually really enjoy her.
She's great. So it's like, we don't want to ruin her for
don't mess
stupid
with that
relationship drama, because she was
exactly
great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just can't wait to see the day when Parker and Logan break up and we all call bullcrap, because it's going to be something very stupid. I can just sense that it's going to be dumb, because everyone seems to, I guess, necessarily ship love just because that's the ship that's shoved in their face rather than the ship that seems healthy, Parker Logan. And I can't see the show writing off Parker, as nice as she is, of that ship in any way. Maybe it's going to be Logan, though, so.
Yeah.
But it's going to happen. We all know it's bound to happen. I've seen way too many news articles with love is in the air or love lives for the movie, and it's just impossible to miss that. I'm sorry, people. But it's just, like, ridiculous to me that we could even expect Veronica to not be with Logan at this rate.
No comment.
No comment is good.
Team Piz.
Team Piz is good, too.
Piz, yawn.
Hey,
but not like Piz and Veronica, as I stated. Just Piz.
He's so boring.
He's the sweetheart.
He's boring.
Because he doesn't, like, smash up people's headlights and, like, drive around in some disgusting yellow car. Like, oh, yeah, what a jerk.
He doesn't really do anything besides pine after Veronica. Like, he's just boring.
Yeah, I don't like the Piz and Veronica dynamic that much, but I like Piz. He's the only normal character on this show. He's the only person that hasn't, like, he's not related to someone that's been killed, and he, like, hasn't date raped someone, and he hasn't, like, dated an accused murderer. It's just nice to have that balance of, like, a normal human being.
I don't dislike Piz. I just think there's no character there. So I have zero attachment to him, because we know nothing about him besides he has a radio show and he's friends with Wallace and he likes Veronica. Like,
well, yeah, nice. But I mean, like, I know more about- I totally No, I totally agree, but that's because every character on this show except for Logan and Veronica have been sidelined in season three. So, you know, we don't know anything more about, like, what Wallace is doing or what Mac is doing or any of these other characters. So I was just, you know, I like Piers. He's cute and he's fun. He likes egg sandwiches.
I would like to know more about him. Like, I could have a reason to like him. That's me.
Yeah, I feel like I have potential to like him. I agree with you, Caitlin. I just have to be sold on him still.
Yeah, but you guys are like, you're like, I need a reason to like him. Whereas I'm like, why is this happening that I'm the positive one? I'm like, I need a reason to dislike a character. I'm not gonna dislike a character just because, like, oh, I don't know that much about him. You know, there's nothing that I dislike about him. Whereas you're both like, oh, well, there's nothing to like about him, so, like, yeah. Why would I bother? Just, like, which is I'm a stupid way of watching a TV show.
I go in, like, completely neutral, and I move either way by what we learn about him, and we haven't learned enough about him for me to move either way, so I'm still sitting in the Piz is there category.
I've learned that I like looking at his face.
Oh, well, that's two.
He has a very nice face.
That's something. Well, I mean, I was going to ask you, Marma, then, what sold you on a very irredeemable, if that's a word, character Kendall?
Oh, she was so funny. And she was so, yeah, and Buffy. And she was, just, no, she was just so upfront about the fact that she was a total bitch.
Yeah,
and I was just like, well, she knows that, like, she's doing whatever and she doesn't care. Like, she's like the embodiment of the gift that, like, look all the F's I give. Like, that's just Kendall. That was Kendall's entire personality. So what's not to love?
Honey Badger don't care.
Literally.
I similarly liked the Dean, not as much as you did to Marma, I don't think. But I just think, in general, he was likable because he was also very upfront about everything. Hey, that's why I like Dick. See, Marma, I could convert you over to Dick if only he didn't try and roof you, Veronica.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, no.
One large, you know, flaw.
Fully a key part of his existence wasn't there.
If only it didn't exist. I guess I'm always pining away to love that him. I think pine's my word today. I'm always pining away to love Dick. It's not just because of his looks or anything like that. I just think that upfront personality is unmatched in this show, even with people like Kendall, because he plays all his cards right out in front. He never hides how he's feeling. Like, for instance, at the party when he gets ditched with those two girls and they start making out and all that business. That was his worst nightmare, and he let it show. He was sad. He was like, I thought I was going to get a threesome tonight. That really sucks. And I was like, you know what, dude? I can tell you really wanted it, and I feel kind of bad because everyone seemed like they were going for it. I mean, I guess he did set it up badly. But my point is, Dick is very upfront in a fashion that I'd never even seen Kendall do. That's why I like him so much, Marma.
Okay, well, attempted roofie is attempted roofie, and, like, attempted rape is attempted rape, and even though Dick is, like, very funny, I would never, ever get over that as an aspect of a thing that he did, so we'll agree that you're wrong, and I'm right.
Well, he's, like, the class clown that I would love to be an acquaintance with and kind of, like, watch and laugh, but I wouldn't be friends with, and...
I would not be friends with a person like that.
But or would you just be friends, like, with Kendall, for instance?
Oh, hell no. But she's fun to watch on TV.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's where it comes down to. Not who I'd be friends with, who I trust, or who I think is a good person, who I just like because they're entertaining to watch on TV.
Yeah, Kendall didn't like roofie anyone. I just like going back to the Buffy thing again.
All right. So I think that's all that we have for shipping and romance and stuff. I feel like it's a lot.
It was the shipping episode. Come on. This is worse than Valentine's
Day. It really was. There's ships all over the place. Friendships. Like Logan and Veronica friendship. And
Mac and Logan? Hello?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Mac and Logan? Oh, my God.
Favorite thing.
That happened. That lunchroom scene.
Oh, my God. That was the best thing ever. That was my favorite thing.
I think that... It was really odd that Logan didn't jump on the Mac train if he's really trying to please both Veronica and Parker. He really took a while to jump to her side. It was weird.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, he kept on saying, I don't know, it's whatever she'd say, like, really mean things. Like, oh,
he was playing along.
So that was them playing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I thought that was him being a jerk. That's fine. Because then Parker was like, oh, stop.
He was playing along.
Then that's cute. I like that.
It was adorable. And Logan has friends. Like, Logan needs friends. So, yay. And friends that's someone not awful. So, yay.
I'm not going to jump off on a limb here and say Veronica's an awful friend to Logan right now, because he's not really getting anything out of her. She just lies and deceits, or just doesn't trust him, or tries to control him too much, and just shouldn't have the control that she has on his relationship with Parker, even. I think that she shouldn't... I don't know. I don't like them as friends right now. I don't know how I'm flipping so hard over to this, but I think that Madison thing really got me about love. But Marm, I interrupted you. You were saying something?
Oh, no, I just wanted to... I feel bad. We can talk about after, but we didn't actually talk about, like, the Piz and Veronica moment. We just talked about Piz.
Yeah, yeah.
So we should... We should probably talk about that as well.
Yeah. Well, I think we have beaten love to death, so let's talk about the kiss that happened.
Well, okay, so I know I said at the start, like, I had some problems with it, and I do have some problems with it, because it's an episode of Veronica Mars. Mainly because... like, the way that they set it up is that Veronica, it's like a pity thing where she feels bad for him, basically, because he's, like, in love with her and she treats him like, you know, like that scene where she gets him to pretend to be a boyfriend was super harsh. And when Wallace is like, come on, you're smarter than that. You know that he's into you. And she's like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And every viewer that has ever seen this show is like, wants to shake Veronica at that point. But I felt bad for Piz, because I was like, this isn't going to work out, as shown by, like, Logan being in the elevator. And I don't think that they have set this up to be a very, like, believable relationship if Piz and Veronica were to be a thing that happens now, like a permanent thing. That doesn't seem very believable, because it was just... oh, this guy's into you, and, like, stop flirting with him. Don't be a jerk. And she was like, oh, he's into me? Hey, let's make out. That was basically what happened in this episode. Poor Piz.
I don't think poor Piz. She was giving him the let's be friends speech, and he's like, kiss attack. Like, whoa. I was a little bothered by that.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, what TV show hasn't had, like, someone kiss someone without being like, hey, can I kiss you first? Like, obviously, it's like a slight taking advantage. I completely agree, but you know, it happens in like every single movie and TV show and anything that we have ever watched. It's meant to be romantic. So I feel like at this point when I watch things like that, I'm just like, oh, I just have to deal with this. But you know, that was him being like, okay, I'm done. I've done this. I'm out. I'm going. That's like out of my system. And then she is like, no, wait. Like, let's do this some more, and then whatever happens.
What's the official relationship name, Danielle, just for the books?
For Piz and Veronica?
Is it Liz?
It's Pizonica.
Is it Pizonica? That's so dumb.
It's Pizonica.
Why isn't it just Liz? My God.
Liz.
Oh, wait, that doesn't make sense. Viz. Liz. I was thinking Logan. Oh, I was just shipping like, Logan and Piz by accident.
Logan and Piz.
Liz. That's cute. That is Liz. A cute ship.
Yeah, it's great. No, it's Pizonica.
Pizonica? Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Viz. Just put one letter in front of his name and you're fine. God. Is there like a board that's surrounded besides ship names? Like, there's, you know, arguments for both sides, then the judge sits down, hits a gavel in the middle, and says, it is now Pizonica! And then that's it? Like, I... Fandoms confuse me. They're stupid sometimes. This makes no sense.
You think that Viz is better than Pizonica?
It's quicker.
They're both so dumb, but, like, Viz just sounds like you're misspeaking. I think a shipping name has to have, like, more than one syllable, or it has to be a pun, like love. That's my rule that I've just created.
That's fine.
It is law.
I'll take that.
Yeah,
that's
it is law.
Danielle has definitely slammed down the gavel on that one, and I have to agree that you need to have more than one syllable or make it like a real word, because everyone will be like, Viz?
Now everyone's going to be like, no, what about this one syllable one and this one syllable one? Whatever. I don't care.
It's fine.
You cracked me up, Marm. I'm telling you that. Oh, you're funny. Whew.
All right. So, yes. Pizonica, we will find out what happens with that. That's all I can say. So I don't want to sway.
Seeing as Team Piz shirts are being sold for the movie, I'm thinking that he's still around, and I'm thinking that, that Veronica could potentially be dating Logan, but looking toward dating...
Mitch, you've seen the trailer.
No, this isn't even that. No, this,
there are also Team Mac, Team Weevil, Team Wallace.
Why is no one mentioning those?
So, like, it's team I like this character.
Got
pretty
it.
Much.
Yeah, exactly.
I swear I hadn't seen that anywhere. I looked at those shirts and I... Well, on Hypeable, it's the most I wanted to look because I knew it was spoiler-free. And I didn't see it, Danielle.
It's there. It's in the photo.
Maybe I'm just...
It's in the photo in the article that I wrote and slaved over.
Well, then I just need to look closer and be a better sleuther then.
Slaved over and did an amazing job over. Yay, Danielle.
Thank you.
Yes, she did. Good job on all those articles, by the way. She's pumping that on Hypeable, and I'm impressed. And I can't believe that I was trying to knock her down for that. Because you are working your butt off getting this Veronica Mars news out there for the movie. It's impressive.
I'm trying, but it looks like someone's taking my place now. So.
We could have a new marshmallow.
You could have a new marshmallow. It's exciting.
Does that mean I get you back now? Come back. Yay.
I'm thinking so. I'm not sure. I have to find out once we're done.
Do I regain custody of you, Danielle? From Andrew?
From, yeah.
Yay.
All right. So let's talk about the mystery of the week, because we haven't come anywhere near it. And I mean, it happened. And so let's just do a quick discussion. First of all, thoughts about the mystery itself. Did we like it, not like it, care less?
Could we hit on any more cliches?
Okay.
Like, just checking them off, like the redneck American who hates Arabs, and just like check off all the cliches. They were all there.
They tried to give him more of a personality and a purpose by saying his brother was hurt overseas and... Thus, the younger brother was against anyone that looked Arab. Of course, he was being, you know, obviously, as the show made it look, a jackass for doing what he was doing. But I can see where you would also think, Caitlin, though, that that was just a very blatant stereotype. Because it was. But if you looked a little bit closer, they did attempt. They didn't. I don't think they did it right. But I still think they did attempt to justify the hatred that brother had toward the Arabs.
They tried. It was not successful, I don't think.
And it shouldn't have been successful, because there really shouldn't be anything ever successful about blind hate.
Yeah.
So the good guys won, and Veronica got to do some stuff with that guy in the Photoshop, which was kind of funny. He, I'm talking about the worker of the store.
Talking about my favorite scene, but go ahead.
Ah, there we go.
It's fine. It's totally fine. Let's talk about it.
I was just going to mention how he was very not suspicious about the fact that Veronica said, okay, I'll see you at the apartment, honey. He was just kind of like, oh, okay, that's a cool thing to say to a stranger. And then she walked away, you know? It was like, huh? Maybe he thought that she was delusional. Maybe he thought that she had dementia. He was just being a polite person.
Yeah. It was fun.
Veronica was super creepy when she, like, went up to Nasir to, like, ask for the time and was, like, touching him. I was, like, looking through my fingers. I was like, I cannot deal with this.
Oh, it's so weird.
Could you guys even lie like that in real life? Go up to a complete stranger and pretend that you were dating them to get something that they were getting processed at a store? That's really crossing a boundary there.
I can't do that, like, on a dare, even. Like, to, like, go up and talk to someone like random.
Has balls. Here's cojones. Like,
yeah, she's got cojones.
Big cojones.
Never underestimate the size of her cojones.
Yes, hell, that's where that came from. I knew that was Veronica Mars somewhere.
Is Logan, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So what about that whole storyline with Veronica's classmate, who was, you know, a big bitch because she was an 09er and she... didn't like that Veronica took away her pirate points, but then she liked her all of a sudden when Veronica was helping her out.
But Veronica didn't take away her pirate points.
She said that. Well, I know she didn't, but the girl said that.
I know, and I was like, what is she talking about? Because that's not what happened.
Yeah, no. They didn't win. But whatever.
She should have said tried, not did take away my pirate points. But anyways, was her hatred toward Veronica even justified then?
At that point, probably not, but also she's an 09er.
So. Yeah, totally. Oh no, Marma has to leave us before we finish our episode recap.
I do, but I expect a dramatic reading of my favorite line, preferably with three of you playing the different roles.
Okay.
And I think my favorite scene is probably pretty obvious, but it's just his existence. Yep. So yeah, I'll be listening back to the rest of it, but sorry I have to go early, guys.
No, it's
totally fine. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. And seriously, dramatic reading, like, I'm not joking. I expect that to happen.
You'll have to ask me twice.
You can fight over the various roles. They're all dudes, so make of that what you will. Okay, bye.
Bye, Marima.
Bye.
So I'm really excited for that part of the episode. I'm sure everyone else listening is, because if they haven't learned by now, one of my favorite things to do on Rewatchable is talk in different voices. Ariana wasn't too happy when I did that for her in the last episode.
No, she wasn't, but it was funny.
Did I just say the word goodbye?
I don't remember. I don't remember what you did.
It was a while ago. I won't do it again, though. Yeah, when we recorded it. Okay. But I won't do it again because I got pretty chewed out from nipping Ariana. She wrote a really funny thing, too, about how she sounds like an overly educated 10-year-old or something like that. That was funny.
We'll get there.
All right.
But back to the mystery of the week, really quickly. I really enjoyed the Van Cleven's cameo in the Paintballers video. I thought it was funny for them to just, like, randomly throw him in there for no reason.
Favorite scene.
Oh, was it? Yes. Sorry. it was just so fun.
Do you think that was really him?
I'd have to look again, but I think so. I don't see why not.
Yeah. I was thinking that I wanted to rewind it to see if it was him, because I did that previously, and I think it was the last episode, because Veronica and her dad were watching the news or something, and they were talking really quiet, and the subtitles weren't written for it, but it turned out to be nothing. So I think I learned my lesson from that moment, that I'm not going to rewind and look at little things that apparently don't matter.
Mm. All right. It's a good lesson.
Yes. Don't do that for Veronica Mars, at least. But, you know, for shows like Lost, definitely do that.
Gotcha. Noted.
Screen cap and Google and Wikipedia read, please. But anyways.
So that was the mystery of the week. My biggest problem with it was not the redneck, but what was his name? Messier?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think my biggest problem with it was just the reveal that he was handing out these flyers at the ball. And, like, that's kind of what started it all. I just didn't really understand his motivation, I guess. I don't know.
That was another cliche that they checked off. Like, it was cliche just, across the board.
It was just really bothersome.
The only cliche that was broken was when the 09er daughter's father forgave her for dating the guy in the Jewish fraternity.
That was cool.
That was silly in the beginning. I was really upset by that. I was confused also as to how she wasn't caught before. I don't know. It just seems like something really suspicious to be sneaking off all the time. But again, she is a college student, so she could kind of get away with more. So I felt bad, though, that Veronica's triumph was thwarted when she thought she got all the pictures, but it turned out, you know, some of them were still half naked and all smoochy. That sucks. That just really, it upset me that for as much as Veronica had lied to try and get them to save someone she didn't even like from a lot of embarrassment, it still didn't work. That was just a really wah, wah, wah moment.
But it's so fun, sort of, that, like, even in the days before digital files and digital cameras and all that stuff, like, this girl can still get bested by photos because you have, I don't know. I just thought it was funny. It's like, you can never truly delete something, but, like, this was all physical and yet she was still bested by it. I thought it was interesting. I don't know.
And you would think that, maybe not, but the guy developing the photos would catch on that something sketchy was happening if there were photos, you know, through a tree and it was
not his job to judge.
It's not, but it's also weird that the Nasir, right, he went to the trouble of printing them out when he easily could have just shown them on a computer screen.
It wasn't a digital camera, though.
Oh, I thought it was.
I don't think so.
All right. So all's fair in love and war, then, right? Or no? Do we agree with Nasir's standpoints, or do we agree with the show that he got deported because he was an evil person doing evil things?
And he was gross. So, yeah. Bye-bye.
Yeah, he was gross. I don't know if there's anything I really agree with, because I don't know if there's anything really put out there to be agreed with, but yeah, he was gross.
I feel like they put in that thing with Amira, like, to push over the top that he was, like, a gross human being, because if he was just handing out those flyers, yeah, that's gross, but he has free speech, so that's not a good reason to deport a person, but the fact that he was also trying to get this girl in trouble for her love life, it's like, let's pile on as many things as possible so we don't feel bad that he's getting deported.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, I agree, Caitlin. Well, what do you think about the very after school special speech that the father gave, where he was like, now, I know he has free speech, so he's okay to hand out these posters, but it's un-American, so I don't like it. And it was very, like, this is the First Amendment, and here it is, Veronica Mars watchers. And I was like, okay, whoa.
It was just awkward.
Yeah, it felt like it was, like, a weird copy and pasted line from, like, a law book or something. It was really silly.
Like you said, it was very after-school special.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And it was weird that Veronica Mars did that, because usually it doesn't. It tends to avoid those, I think. Don't you guys?
Like the preachy thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was one moment also in season 3 that had a very specific after-school special moment when the priest was hugging Bonnie and the voiceover went over as Veronica stopped Weevil from crushing Madison's car. It was like, we must love and forget. And it was very Full House.
Yeah. Again, it's hard to say, but at this point, like, they could have just been like, whatever, screw you all, we're done.
Oh, no.
I'm not sure. I don't want to blame everything on that, because obviously not everything is, but...
You know. So, I guess that, speaking within the comment you just gave Danielle, this is a good time for Caitlin and I to ask, what's the mystery for the rest of the season? Because we have 4 more episodes, and it's a very small amount of time to start something and wrap it up.
Can I tell you that I've been trying to figure that out since the beginning of season 3, what the third mystery was?
Oh no, Caitlin, what are we going to do?
I don't think there's not technically a mystery. I think it's more of there were 3 plot lines in the season. 2 mysteries, and then this last one that's going to happen.
That Keith is the sheriff? Is that it? That's like the only main thing
that's happening. It has to deal with the election, yeah.
Oh my god. That's not fun. That's not juicy. That's not Veronica Mars. Oh, that's disappointing.
I may have to confer with Gabrielle on this before, I don't know, but I'm going to say now that if you would like to watch the trailer for the movie, or if you want to start kind of gearing for that, I don't think there are very many things holding you back from doing so.
Yes, I'd agree. From the trailer that I saw, I'd agree.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, if you don't want to spoil yourself, don't do it. Because, I mean, it's more fun that way. But if you would like to kind of start doing that or reading some articles on our site and stuff like that, it's not as big of a deal anymore. Especially since after these episodes, we have 4 more.
Well, the ships have all happened, and that's what's the most important part for the movie, I'd feel. No one's going to die, I think we've all defined.
Yeah, so...
Unfortunately, it's not going to be the equivalent of the excitement of the end of season 2, which was very traumatizing. It just... What a letdown. Right. That cancellation seems to have done a lot more than it comes off initially. And it's really, really making me sad. Caitlin, are you with me, or do you feel that this is the way the season always was played out to be?
I mean, it was a lot weaker from the start, so it just has kind of stayed on that weaker level all the way through, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, And now that you've kind of gone through everything, you kind of get a better idea on why people have been, I mean, you'll see it at the end of the season too, but like why people have been clamoring for more, or just like more Veronica Mars, Veronica Mars. Just because
there's no proper ending.
Yeah.
Well, and it's also, it's funny to me that they would have live tweeted the actors all of the season three episodes that they've been doing recently, because to me that just seems silly when these episodes are the worst out of the series in general.
It's usually, I think it has to do with their schedules as well as episodes that have to do with their characters.
Yeah.
Because I believe Dick live tweeted one where he was involved in some way. I don't know. But yeah, it just has to do with that.
Speaking of which, we do have that Weevil's Wobble episode coming up. Caitlin, are you excited?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well,
don't tell me.
No. This isn't even a spoiler because we've already discussed it in Rewatchable. I promise. Back in season one, I made a joke off the cuff that said something like, "We just wobble, but they don't fall down." And then Danielle goes, "That's actually the name of an episode." And I said, "Whoa!" That's it. No spoilers. Nothing about like what it's.
Well,
what
it's a spoiler that that's a thing that happens. So,
I'm sorry. I didn't know. I'm sorry. I didn't know you didn't like to know episode titles. That's my fault.
I was kidding.
Oh, never mind.
But yeah, so there isn't really a mystery in the third part of the season. So Logan's death, Lamb's death. God no, Lamb's death is kind of what sparks. That was the crossover into the third part of the season, was having to deal with the fallout from that.
The third trimester, if you will.
Ooh, yeah.
The baby is the movie, though. So I mean, that's pretty cool.
It's a very long pregnancy, if that's how we're doing that metaphor. But, yeah, sure. So let's talk really quickly before we kind of wrap things up about not only Keith as the sheriff, but Keith as the opposite of what Lamb was. He kind of said how he was more responsible and everything, but in this episode, we see Keith trying to cut down on underage drinking, and he actually fires, like, I don't want to say half, but a sizable amount of the department for not following his orders, which I thought was interesting. Huh?
I really liked that plot line a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that it was justified because it made sense that those cops weren't following their jobs all the way through, and that one guy had died from stumbling out drunk before he should have, you know, responsibly been drinking, I suppose, and legally.
He didn't die. He was paralyzed.
Oh, good point, yeah. I think that Keith was justified. I don't see anything wrong with this, and I think that those guys were hired under Lamb because they were similarly dinguses.
Mm-hmm. And on one hand,
and he kind of made Veronica realize there were consequences for things that she did.
Yes.
There really are.
Yeah, that's a good point. On one hand, it is really hard to crack down on underage drinking around a college campus. Like, I've seen it. I come from a relatively sizable party school, sort of. So it is hard, but I think it's admirable what Keith Mars was doing. Because it didn't even look like he was trying to get the kids into a lot of trouble. He just wanted to keep them safe.
Yeah.
So he wasn't being malicious about it. He was being proactive.
One life he saves.
Yeah.
But then we can always argue, who's to say that because they're drinking underage that it is too much drinking. Maybe it was just that one case. I don't know. That's a whole can of worms about what the drinking age should be. Open it if you guys feel it's necessary, but maybe you guys have a quick answer to that.
I'm pretty sure that's not the issue here.
Well, the reason I thought it was is because the 19-year-old was displayed as being the person who didn't know how to drink yet because he was 19. Well, my question for you guys was, if it was a 21-year-old that this happened to, well, then we wouldn't have this whole plot line of underage drinking. So that's why it felt like less impact to me. Because if it was like a 16-year-old, I'd understand more. But that's ridiculous to even happen in the real world. That's why this plot did feel a bit convoluted to me. It seemed like they were caring too much about underage drinking when I don't know that it really related to the age. I thought that person would have just been defined as having drinking that much, no matter his age. But maybe that's me assuming too much. I don't know. We don't know too much about that guy, you know?
I see your point, but at the same time, I feel like there is a relatively large difference between a person who is 19 and a person who is 21.
Hey, fair enough. Yeah.
In personality, responsibility, maybe even intelligence. So, I mean, that didn't really bother me that they were cracking down on the underage drinking.
And if the bar is not carding the 19-year-old, who's to say they're not, or they're taking the fake ID of a 16-year-old?
Very good point.
Like, it's cracking down on, like, the bars, period, making sure they're following the law.
Excellent point, Caitlin.
Yeah. And not being sketched.
Keith was so cute with Piz and Wallace, though. And he called Piz Stosh. Like, I loved that whole, everything about that.
I know. It's like nobody calls him by that ever. So when you hear it, you're like, what?
And he called him twice.
Yeah. He's really in trouble when he gets called Stosh.
How did he know his name was Stosh? I guess him and Veronica have had some off-screen conversations.
Yeah. And, I mean, Wallace, he's kind of close with Wallace, so I'm sure.
Yeah. What's up with Wallace's mom, by the way? That just totally came to my brain because I thought of how, you know, Keith was close to Wallace through her. Are we, I assume, not going to see her again, but last I knew it, that ended because Keith was not okay with her. Oh, what the heck? How did that end now? Something about, like, an ex-husband or something.
She lied to him about the ex-husband and got angry. When he tried to intervene.
So it's good that Keith has not made it awkward with Wallace, and now he can, you know, hang out with him at the bar and, like, you know, kind of joke around with him, like, you're stupid, but now you have to work for me.
Yeah.
I'm glad that he didn't let that interrupt his relationship with Veronica's best friend.
Yeah. It was a cute moment with all of them in the bar. I enjoyed it. It was good.
Let's go get our drink on.
Unalcoholic beer. Is that true, that unalcoholic beer would give you all of the pee and none of the buzz?
It exists, so I'm sure.
Because I thought the whole thing of being drunk made you have to pee, not the fact that it was beer. But I guess
I think it's just consuming large amounts of liquid.
Yeah, okay, that makes more sense. And I don't know, that's because I've never drank before, believe it or not. I know, a big shocker, 21-year-old in America. But I just didn't know the validity behind them doing that, saying that.
Yeah, no. You because you're drinking, like, you drink and you just keep going.
Right. Well, have you guys ever tasted non-alcoholic beer?
I have not. I don't like beer.
I don't either.
It's gross.
Interesting. It seems like, to me, as gross as many people have described it then, and it really wasn't worth even drinking in the first place. So that was pretty good torture for the kids. It's almost like making them smoke a whole pack of cigarettes, you know? That old punishment for, like, a kid catching
a kid smoking.
Yeah, definitely.
That was, like, an old school thing before, like, we found out about lung cancer and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I saw an episode of Seventh Heaven, though, where the kids did it to themselves. It was the little one, Ruthie and Simon. And they got so sick and thrown up, and I'm like, ah, that's a lot more dangerous than the show's portraying.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
I'd say that Keith is doing still a pretty good job of what he's doing and buying them that beer and doing all that, so.
Good storyline. I think that should have been more played up rather than the other storyline in this episode, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Totally fine. All right, so let's move into our favorite scenes and favorite lines. We discussed it before, but mine was Veronica in the drugstore pretending to be the guy's girlfriend to get the photos. That's mine. Caitlin, what was yours?
Mine was when Veronica shoots the one kid because she's like, you paintballed Van Clemens, and just shoots him. I'm like, because they are tights. No one messes with Van Clemens. I loved that.
Yeah, that was really cute.
It was good stuff. Marima's was, duh, his. And so, Mitch, what was yours?
Mine was when Veronica started her ship with Dick in the elevator, which I've now have shot down by anyone on this podcast vehemently. You can never blindly love Dick on this podcast, and I learned that lesson.
I love Dick, but no. As far as favorite lines go, mine is, the first half of it comes from Veronica and the second half is answered by Logan. And it's on Veronica's textbook. It's called, or she says, violence in early adolescence. And Logan says, Maybe to autograph your textbook?
Cute.
Wait.
Can we just say that that would not be a freshman class, though?
No. Yep. No, I think it's...
They take classes, about like, how no freshman like, would be taking classes.
No. No.
Like, sorry, like, college portrayals on TV, but freshmen take, like, English 101 and Bio 101. Like, they don't take violence in early adolescence.
That's like a level 300 class, if you ask me.
Yeah, easily. Mm. 3 or 4. Caitlin, your favorite line?
Mine came when Veronica was apologizing to Keith for the fake IDs, and she says, "I vow to use the Mars powers for good rather than evil from now on." And Keith says, "There's never a stenographer around when you need one."
I missed the joke. What's a stenographer?
It's like the court reporter who's keeping
putting it down
for the record. So he's like, yeah. "There's no record of it when you need it."
That's cute. Oh, hey, now we get to decide who gets whom for Marma's quote. So, Danielle, you dish him out.
No.
I'll take Piz.
Okay. I'll take Keith, Caitlin, if you want to take Wallace, because I feel like you can play that off really well.
Okay.
I don't know why, but I feel like you could. So, is that cool?
Go for it.
She broke her knees in with Logan a lot, so.
Yeah. All right, so. I've got some new IDs for you.
This picture is of John Bon Jovi.
Yes, it is.
Biggie Smalls, we don't really all look alike, Mr. Mars.
Hey, that was cute. You're welcome, Marma.
I hope we did it some sort of justice.
I was the only one that could technically do any justice because I'm the only one that semi-fit through my character, but that's just me. Poor you guys had to, like, you know, be like a cop and a young African-American man. It's going to be very difficult.
A little bit. Mitch, now I want to see you be a young Caucasian girl with your favorite line.
Ready, set, go. Because the only buckets I order come in original and crispy. That was very sorority. That's just typical, I guess, that I would go right to there, right? Come on. Obviously, I haven't practiced my young Caucasian female voice too much, but that was when Veronica was talking about the drunken adventures that I'm sure her and Mac have had, you know, barfing around town when they are using their legal IDs, and she was referencing KFC, so if anyone didn't get the joke, I filled you in.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
Well, I didn't know what stenographer meant, so you never know.
You never know. That's true. We're learning new things every day.
Yes, we are.
All right. So if you want to come talk to us, please do. You can contact us through email. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us at re_watchable. And you can also comment on this post on Hypeable. We like starting conversations or hearing what you have to say. So please put it out there. And if you would like, if you were to be so bold to give us an iTunes review, we would be forever grateful. They not only give us a little bit of a boost of confidence, not going to lie, but they also help other people find us as well and kind of enjoy being a marshmallow and build our family. So please leave us a review on iTunes if you feel so inclined.
What's the incentive? We got to give them an incentive. We'll give you a whole pint of unalcoholic beer, and we won't force you to drink it all. You can enjoy it at your own leisure.
Or we won't give you that, and you can be even happier.
Yes, you'll get nothing, and you'll be happy about it.
You get a bucket of extra crispy.
Yeah. Bucket,
yeah. I think that would be good. I don't know.
Or original.
I would enjoy that. Yes, whatever your preference.
Defining by your preferences, of course, naturally.
Yes. So we do have some listener feedback, and since we are talking about iTunes reviews, let's do those first. So let's see. Caitlin, do you want to get that first one?
Sure. This first one is from Sierra Mist 08. Says, "Love it. I totally forgot about Veronica Mars until I started listening to Rewatchable. Great shows and an amazing podcast." Smiley face. So thank you.
Thank you.
But how could you ever forget about Veronica Mars?
It's It's been off the air for a while.
Yes, it has. It's been off the air for 6 years. That's why.
Yeah, it's been a really long time. Mm-hmm. And we also had another iTunes review from Kelsey Ann, and her review is titled Marima. And she says, she makes the entire podcast. Love her.
That's cute.
You know what, Kelsey Ann? We love her, too.
You purposely put that iTunes review in this episode, didn't you, Adiana? And it's so sad that you couldn't read it. I'm just talking to Adiana like she's here because she's, you know, the most of rewatchable.
She's around somewhere. Her comments are under the other listener feedbacks that we are going to get to.
Yes, they are.
Mitch, did you want to get that first tweet?
Sure thing. This one comes from Kels at SoStellar, who wrote, got my tickets for hashtag Veronica Mars movie. Yeah, San Francisco is going to be rocked by it. In parentheses, no earthquakes, please. That's cute.
And do you want to read Ariana's note for that as well?
Okay, I'll do Ariana's voice just to piss her off again. Here we go.
All right.
Guys, for reference, her profile picture is of a terrifyingly cute cat.
That was maybe less spot on than the last one, but okay. And let's see. Caitlin, did you want to get that second tweet?
Sure. This is from, I apologize if I butcher your name.
Yeah.
Oda I. Valour. Again, I apologize. Who says, binge listening to the podcast. I love it. Walking around laughing, and my family probably thinks I'm weird. Well, they're weird for not joining you listening, so that's you can hold that over them.
I actually replied to her on that one, and that's exactly what I said. Yes. And Ariana's note for her is, according to her Twitter profile, she is a Hufflepuff. So I'm not sure if that means she's this... Ariana being a Slytherin is planning something? I don't know, but she knows when you're of a different house, so congrats on being a Hufflepuff.
Perhaps she's...
probably a terribly good finder.
You are a very good finder. I think Ariana is consulting with her fellow ghost Bloody Baron to go assassinate Oda, so I apologize, Oda, but, you know, the Bloody Baron is very vile. Does it just make you guys so warm and fuzzy to know that people listen to us? Sometimes I just sit there and I'm just like... not thinking of the listener, I'm just talking to you guys, having fun, but when I hear little things like they're binge-watching, their family's laughing at them being a weirdo, I'm like, that's so cute! That's what we're doing. It's so, I love it.
Makes me happy every day. I'm thankful.
It does. Love my podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Alright, before we go, we do have a few special announcements for you. The first one is that Gabrielle, Mitch, and Ariana will be going to see the Veronica Mars movie on Saturday, March 15th at 4:10 p.m. at the AMC South Bay Galleria 16 Theater in Redondo Beach. Mm-hmm. So, let them know if you're going to be coming to that same show or if you're going to be around. Let them know in the comments on the Hypeable post. They would love to meet you all, and Ariana says that she will bring marshmallows to share. And I'm not kidding. She actually put, so.
My cats would probably eat the marshmallows if I got them before, because cats tend to love marshmallows. That's why I love my cats, though. Think about it. I'm a marshmallow. And yeah.
Fun fact. So, yeah. Let them know if you're going to be there. They'd love to see you. My other announcements just have to do with news. Again, check Hypeable, because we're going to have as much news for you there as possible. But quick checklist for you. Don't forget to check out the soundtrack. Don't forget to check out and pre-order the book if you want to know what happens right after the movie. It's going to be released about a week after. I hope that's not a spoiler, but they're really trying to do as much with Veronica Mars as possible because it's doing so well right now. Don't forget to check out the Cafe Press Veronica Mars store. They do have some pretty cool stuff, and it's all fan-designed, except for, I think, the team shirts, which are on sale for $10 until this Sunday, or today, whenever you're listening, the 23rd. But everything else, you can submit your own design, you can take a look and see what else other people put out there. It's actually pretty cool. So yeah, other than that, get your ticket theater movie, I don't know what I'm saying anymore, get your movie tickets for the theater if that's where you're going to go. Otherwise, keep your eyes on Hypeable, and we'll let you know what is going on with the whole streaming on-demand thing. I promise we'll get it figured out for you. So I think that's all of the news and everything that we have for you today. So we will see you right back here next week, and we'll be discussing, it's going to be our second to last episode for the actual episodes of the TV show. It's going to be so weird.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Rewatchable just really become too much a part of my life to ever let it go. So I'm just hoping that the powers may, that be, Karen, cough, cough, will keep this chatty mouth on.
Yep.
For whatever show we're doing, that'd be fun. So.
Yeah, it would be. We're going to have to, we'll figure that out soon too. Stay tuned for that. I think we're going to have some sort of poll going on with some of the top picks that we've been seeing. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, otherwise, go do your homework, go watch the next two episodes, and we'll meet you right back here this time next week. So until then, I'm Danielle.
I'm Caitlin.
I'm Mitch.
And we'll see you later, marshmallows.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.